we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. It is time to hit the restart button. Another work week has begun, and we're going to be talking about work relations here in just a little bit as it pertains to dealing with patience on the part of saints. How many of you know that good things start with the people of God? It's got to start with us. And so stay tuned. We're going to be talking about that here in a little bit. You have tuned into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30 of a morning, you are listening on WWBC 1510 AM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And we are thankful to be able to spend the next half hour with you. We do want to take just a moment to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Recently, a listener used them, and as far as I can tell, they are very pleased. Their air conditioner is back up and running. It did require the replacement of a component, but not an entire system. And I will just let you know that if you call Creative AC Solutions at 321-759-3284, Bill Andreich, if you happen to be in the central part of Brevard County, you can give him a call. He will give you an honest and fair assessment of the situation and will help get you back up and running should we have one of those exceptionally warm winters where you need the AC even on Christmas Day, or if you want him to come out and just do maintenance on your system, you can call him at 321-759-3284, and that way you can make sure that if a cold snap hits tonight, your heater will work. If a heat wave comes in, your air conditioner will work. He will do a great job for you. I encourage you to give him a call, 321-759-3284. So we're here on Monday morning, and when I was fresh out of Bible college, Garfield was one of my favorite cartoon characters. I used to read the funny papers, Garfield was just one of those comic strips just reflected a mindset of don't interrupt my sleep, reminding me that I need to go to work on Monday. It was just that type of thing. And you might be that type of person, but I want you to realize that God created this day. He's going to sit up on the throne. You're his ambassador. He has a message that he wants to speak through you and through me that is going to sustain the weary. And you and I need to have as our goal to represent him well. Now, I will tell you this. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20 is where we're going to focus on today, but we're going to begin reading at verse number 18. And probably one of the things that I have embraced over the past number of years is realizing that even though I'm a child of God, I live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, there are people who do not embrace the will of God. They reject the will of God. They, instead of embracing and accepting the grace God has for them, they cling to worthless idols and forfeit the grace that could be theirs. There are people who make bad decisions. There are people who suffer consequences because of their sinful decisions. But there are also bad people who do horrible things in this world that we live in. You know, it was just a couple of weeks ago that it wasn't even quite that long ago, just a little over a week ago, where there were two church shootings on a Sunday morning because a person who did not believe in God according to the news reports, wanted to make some ex-family members, some in-law family members, suffer as much as possible. And there were dozens and dozens of lives that were impacted. On that same day, however, there was another church shooting out in California that did not get the same headlines because it was the same, you know, it was overshadowed by the much more tragic event. But let me tell you this. Every day there are tragedies that occur because we live in a fallen world. I want to remind you, God is good and the devil is bad. That, you know, it really does get down to simple things. If you want to get into a theological discussion with me, we need to first and foremost begin with the character of God, and then we'll compare that with the character of the devil. And if we can agree on those two things, then we can begin to make some headway. God has a wonderful plan for you. The devil has a horrible plan for you. And so as you and I are preparing for our day today, I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. You're going to hear some language in this passage that if that word is a trigger for you, a negative trigger, then I want to help break it down a little bit as to how this principle applies to us in our modern lives. Okay? So if you're there with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. For you, by whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Okay, so the trigger word there is the word slaves, and I want to let you know that slavery is what America experienced. That was a travesty. It was a tragedy. It was a horrific miscarriage of justice towards humanity. God never intended for that type of tyranny to be ruled over another human being. Okay? So I just want to get that out there. Biblical slavery was an entirely different form of slavery for the most part. Some of it was prisoners of war that were enslaved, but there were others who were in bondage because they needed finances, so they would literally sell their services to a person. And as a Hebrew, they would sell their services to another Hebrew for a season, and then that person would be free to go, but anything that they had amassed while there would stay behind. So I need you to understand that Old Testament slavery was primarily, it was a contract labor situation, and there were people who treated their slaves badly. There were, the book of Philemon was a book written to a slave owner and a Christian slave owner, and Paul goes on and addresses some of those issues. We're talking here about a day and time where slavery should not exist. You know, if you really want to get down to it, there is still a great amount of trafficking in human beings that takes place, primarily on two fronts. One is through sexual sin, and there are people who are trafficked for their bodies so that they can be used to make money for other people who don't want to have to pay the price for all of that stuff that goes on there, and And that's just a horrific. It is not an innocent, victimless crime. Okay? I just want to get that out there. And the second is there are people who buy into the mindset that they can be smuggled into a country, and it happens here in America. It happened, its influences reached into Haiti when I was there, people trying to get out of Haiti, people trying to get into America. But it also has happened in European countries where people are promised jobs, and the jobs that they're promised are falsified so that they can actually get them away from their people, get them isolated, and treat them in bondage. I want to say it one more time. God condemns slavery. Jesus came to set people free. Okay? Now, the Bible also says the borrower is servant to the lender. So we're talking here about in 1 Peter chapter 2 about an employee type situation, if you want to look at that principle. And it says, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. If you are a manager, if you are an employer, if you are a boss today, I want to encourage you to be the best and the most generous boss that you can be. I want to encourage you to treat people the way that you want to be treated. That's the way that I have always tried to conduct myself as when it comes to people working underneath me. I served on church staffs. I worked retail jobs. I've done construction jobs. I've done a little bit of all sorts of stuff. Sold items in flea markets and things like that. So there's just a lot of things. I wanted to take care of my family. And during those jobs that I've had some wonderful bosses, and I have had some very instructive bosses. Let me put it that way. You see, every boss that I ever had, I tried to learn from them. I either tried to learn something that I wanted to do and treat others if I ever was blessed to have a staff under me. And then there were others that I said, you know, I'm not real fond of the way I got treated in this circumstance, and I don't ever want to do that again. And I want you to know that even in those situations, I do some personal reflection, and I see some things that I should have done better, could have done better, should have done differently, that might have helped minimize the situation. But, you know, I've just wanted to make sure that when I was an employer, that I dealt with things appropriately and treated my staff wonderfully. You see, FedEx, Fred Smith, I believe was the CEO's name. He came upon the scene at a time when everybody was saying, you know, the customer is always right, and they were treating their employees badly, trying to make their customers happy. And he came along and he said, you know what? I think if I take good care of my employees, they will take care of my customers. And that was what caused FedEx to grow at such a rapid rate of growth, is because once those people had those jobs, they didn't really want to let those go, because it was such a good company to work for. Every year they do surveys. Which companies would you like to work for? Which companies would you not like to work for? Not every person is going to treat their employees well. So where does this patient endurance of the saints come in? It comes in this relationship that we have of how we interact with those who are in the employment area, identified in this passage as a master, okay? So it says, be submissive not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Now, I have had some very harsh bosses. I remember working for a company one time, and even though this person wasn't directly over me, there was a person who a number of other people that I knew worked for, and they began to rejoice when that person was on the way out. And I cautioned them. I said, y'all need to be careful. You need to be careful. And they said, why? And I said, because you don't know who the replacement is yet. and I don't know who the replacement is yet, and you might find out that the new person is even more harsh than the last person. And so I try and make sure, but it doesn't matter if you have a good and gentle boss or if you have a harsh boss, you and I are supposed to deal with them in a manner where we realize that we are working for the glory of God. And as a result of that, we are going to represent God well, even on our job. We're going to represent God well through the words that we speak. We're going to represent him well through the way that we treat other people. And we are going to represent God well with the way that we act on the job. Your actions will speak a lot louder than your words will. I have some favorite testimonies that I've heard through the years about people whose actions were what led others to faith in Jesus Christ. When they were saying, I don't want to hear your words, they were watching others' actions, and they came to faith in Jesus Christ. So how do you respond if you are in an employee situation and it's not exactly the most conducive environment? I've had those jobs where I was praying, oh, God, you got to get me out of here. And God said, I've placed you here for exactly this season. And when God tells you that you're placed there, you might as well say, okay, God, I'm going to be here. I'm going to represent you well, and stop arguing about it. Don't throw a temper tantrum and say, well, I'm just going to refuse to act like a believer. That's not the way to get resolution to the situation. The way to do it is to follow Jesus' example. Listen to what it says. For this is commendable if, biggest two-letter word in the English language is the word if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, aren't you thankful that they don't beat people at work anymore, or not supposed to anyway, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So what this tells me is that God is paying attention to how others are treating his kids, even on the workplace, in the workplace, on the job site. And it says, there is no reward for suffering for bad behavior. Okay? If you and I have put ourselves in a position where we are being justly corrected and justly disciplined and justly, corrected. If we're doing that because we deserve to be corrected, there's no reward in that other than accepting the correction and allowing that episode to affect your future to where you don't make that mistake again. But there are a number of times where you can be doing things exactly right. Somebody come in, be having a bad day, having had a bad interaction with someone else, and all of a sudden, you are the one that is being chewed out. You are the one being corrected. You are the one who is feeling the brunt, and you didn't do anything wrong. How are you going to respond? Well, a lot of people would say, I'm just going to dig in my heels. I'm going to hunch my shoulders. I mean, we are getting ready to have a battle royale here because I'm not taking that sort of nonsense. Now, let me tell you how Peter says to do this. And I want to remind you that Peter lived in a time when they were under Roman oppression and the Jewish people were not treated well. So he has some credibility on this issue. Okay. For if when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So what does he, how does he say to do this? For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who, when verse number 23, we're going to skip verse number 22. Let me read 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. In other words, when he was examined, he was found to be spotless. He was found to be without fault and without blame. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And that is how you deal with unjust hardship with patience. You say, I'm going to appeal to God. I'm going to appeal to my life, my strength, my Savior, my healer. Okay? You would not think that this would be the appropriate place where you would begin to talk about by his stripes you were healed, but it is exactly in this context of a servant who suffers unjustly that we have this promise from the Old Testament now made manifest into the New Testament. So let's take a look. It says that Jesus committed himself to him who judges righteously. If you've got a person who makes bad judgments, you need to appeal to someone who makes good judgments. Okay? It's very, very simple. And I will also tell you this. When Jesus was being falsely accused, he didn't open up his mouth. He stood there before his accusers, and unless he was placed under direct admonishment to speak to the situation, he didn't say anything. Why could he do that? Because he knew what the will of God in that situation was. Okay? It was because of the way that Jesus behaved compared to the way that other criminals behaved. I believe that that one of the centurions said, truly, this man was the Son of God. I believe it's that sort of behavior that says, wait a minute, this man isn't responding the way other people have responded. There's something different about him. So, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Okay? So he takes us back. We just celebrated communion here the first Sunday of November. And we always like to talk about that, that his body was broken so that ours could be made whole. His blood was shed so that our names could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we could have eternal life with Jesus Christ, our King. That all of that is fine. It's well, it's wonderful, it's true. But here in 1 Peter, it says this, by whose stripes you were healed. Right before that, it says, but that you might live for righteousness. Jesus did not pay the price on the tree so that I could continue to wallow in my sin or return back to the pit that he just reached his strong right arm down into and pulled me out of. He didn't deliver me, forgive me, cleanse me, and all of that so that I could go right back to the same stuff that messed up and controlled my life in a negative way before that. Instead, he's received the stripes upon his back. He was crucified so that you and I could be empowered to live life the way Jesus wants us to live life, to live for righteousness. And I will tell you this, living for God is a lot more enjoyable than living for the devil. Living righteously at home, at church, in the community, and on the job so that you don't get justly punished, justly corrected, justly disciplined? You know, one of my high and holy callings in life is to not create a discipline hearing for myself. That's what I really want to do. Now, it says this, by whose stripes you were healed. I've looked it up in a number of translations, and in the Old Testament, it is a slightly different way of saying that, where it is talked about in Isaiah chapter 53. Let me take you back there. We're getting starting to get a little short on time, but Isaiah chapter 53. Verse number 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Okay, and there it is. It is a slightly different reading than 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah looks at a time prophetically and sees the effect of this suffering servant was going to have, that it was going to, that there was even present day healing, even though the sacrifice was not for several hundred years to come. And Peter looks back at the same sacrifice and he says, no matter what man does to you, no matter how unjustly you've been treated, there's healing because of what Jesus went through on the cross. It was a long, torturous, arduous death. It was one of the most excruciatingly painful ways to die that there's ever been. And he patiently endured that for the joy that was on the other side of the cross. He did that. He paid all of that price so that you could be made whole. Today, if you are in a job situation where there is all sorts of strife and discord and you suffer unjustly as a child of God, I knew a ball player that literally was traded because he was a Christian. They just couldn't deal with it. I tell you what you do. You say, God, I'm going to appeal to you. I want your light to shine me. And God, no matter what they do to me, you're my healer. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an